before you're seated, I want to introduce myself. My name is Sean. I'm the pastor here, and I love our church. I just love being a part of your guys' life, and I'm grateful for what God's doing in January. This is our second week in the January, and we started a series called Swerve. Everyone say Swerve. The whole idea is we're talking about this word called endurance, and endurance, here's the thing, endurance means someone who knows their purpose and they aren't swerved by it. And so I feel like some people swerve from their purpose in 2016. So my prayer as a pastor today and for 2017 is that whatever God's called you to in 2017, you're not going to swerve. We're not going to swerve. And that's what I believe is going to happen in this place, if you believe it. And so we are in the second week about this series and how we can endure when times get tough. Now I'm going to read a scripture. The author is unknown. We don't know if Paul wrote this or someone else did, but this is what the author encourages us with. He says in Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." Some of you, that's all you needed before you left today. God can be trusted to keep his promise. Keep going. He can be trusted with the promise that he gave you. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Especially now, 2,000 years ago, now, today, it's drawing near. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Before you're seated, I want you to help me out. I want you to find three people, and I want you to call them a church rat. So find three people and say, "Hey, you're a church rat." And you can go ahead and take your seat. Thanks, worship team. You're a church rat. Church rats. Hebrews 10. Church rat. If you're taking notes, that's the name of this message. And man, worship team, thank you so much for creating a place where I can come and experience Jesus. There's nothing better as a preacher that I can sit in that before I come up and preach God's word. Because if I was feeling a little insecure, I'd have no insecurities now, because Jesus is in this place and he has a message to share. Church rat. I felt like in this beginning of 2017, I thought it was a good idea, like we talked about, to start this series called Swerve so that we can endure when times get tough. And last week we talked about how we may be pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. How we can be perplexed and don't understand, but we're not driven to despair. Even though we're lost, we're not completely lost, because God knows exactly where we are even when we don't. And I talked about how even though we're hunted down, we're never abandoned by God. And we went out with, if you've been knocked down, it's different than being knocked out, and so we can get back up. And so I believe that some people got back up this week. Who got up this week? Who said, "This was my week to get back up"? Praise God for that. And so we're going into our second week of Swerve, and we're going to kind of take a shift into what we're talking about, because sometimes we don't realize just how much help we need when we got to endure some situations. And the author tells us in Scripture, he says, Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold tightly without wavering." They're going to throw it up there. "Let us hold tightly without wavering." The Sean International Version, we're going to go to the Scripture, Hebrews 10:23. "Let us hold tightly without wavering." The Sean International Version is, "without swerving to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." And then he encourages us with this. He says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another." A lot of us want to be motivated, but we never think of ways to motivate someone else. Right? We want the motivation to come our way, but God says, "I want you to be motivators to other people." That's why I don't get offended when people just call me a motivational speaker. That's my job. I'm here to motivate people to love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. So he says we are motivated and we are encouraged when we don't neglect one thing. What is that? Meeting together like we are doing this morning. When we look at the word "the church," you got to realize that the word "church" in our Bible was not actually what it was called back when it was first written. Throughout transliterations and everything, we now have this word "church" that came from this word "kirch," which was a different translation. But the church, when you look it up in the original language, meant this: a gathering in one place. a gathering in one place. So when we say we're going to church, a lot of people in this context think we're going to a building to worship God. But in this context, he's saying the church are the people who leave the building. The church are the people who make a difference wherever they go. This is just brick and mortar. I know we raised money for this place, and it's a great place to meet with other people and everything, but the church is not the stage. It's not the walls. It's not the cool steeples and the cool brick and the cool things going on. The church are the people filling the seats right now. You're like, Elvis has left the building. When we finish today, the church has left the building, right? Everyone say, I'm leaving the building. The church, he says, do not neglect this, meeting together in one place. I'm going to call it church, but when you hear that, I want you to know he's saying, don't neglect what you're doing right now. Because here's the thing, he says, some people are in the habit of doing that. Some people are in the habit, and he says, if you want to be motivated and you want to be encouraged, you have got to not neglect of meeting together in one place. Because it's there where when you go through your biggest struggles, the church can encourage you. I don't know about you, but just through worship, I feel like I can conquer next week already because we're meeting in one place. Here's a thought for you as we talk about Swerve. You already saw it, but we're going to throw it up again. Thought, Christian endurance is a community endeavor. Christian endurance is a community endeavor. And so we call this thing church rat because I don't know if you've heard this before, but someone who works out in the gym or who goes there a lot, they call them gym rats. And so I think the best illustration you can give with the church, if I could be 100% honest with you, I think the best illustration and analogy you can show with the church is the gym. And you're going to find out through this message why I say that. Because I truly believe when you look at the gym and you look at the church, it's a lot of the same things. We see Paul always say, train in godliness, start training, stretch forward, press, run the race, build endurance. It sounds like a gym where we're going to work out our faith, to get stronger, to get better, to get bigger, to get swole. That's our job as Christians, is we're building spiritual muscle, right? So I think when we talk about this, we should talk about the gym. And so I just feel like there's some people in here that I would be considered a church rat. You always find yourself in the church. When they have problems, they're at the church. When they need to get over some things, guess where they are? They're at the church. They don't complain about going to church on Sunday. They know they need church on Sunday. We're talking about church rats. Where are my church rats at? Any church rats in the building? So we're like, I'm not there yet. Oh, we'll get there. You'll get there. The only thing about the gym and the church and endurance is we like instant gratification, right? We like to see a difference and a result right away. The author says, don't waver, don't neglect the meeting of others just because you don't see results right away. I mean, how nice would it be, honestly, if we were at the gym and every time you did a sit-up, an ab popped out? Wouldn't that be you would be, everyone in here is like, I'm dropping right now. You had people laying on the ground right here in church doing sit-up. It was like, one, boop, two, boop. I did 8 sit-ups and I got an 8-pack, right? Like, thank you, Jesus. Like, it'd be easy. What if every time you ate a leaf of your salad, you dropped 5 pounds, right? Come on, lady. Like, praise Jesus. I can't stand this stuff anyways. I mean, the dressing on it doesn't help. But and when you eat the lettuce, 5 pounds, whoo, shed off, right? You see, we like that. But the thing about the gym is a lot of people swerve and they stop going, right? Because, can I tell you something? It's consistency. That's the big secret when it comes to getting in shape, consistency. I believe that's the big secret when it talks about building your spiritual muscles. Consistency. A lot of us complain and wonder why we don't see results, but you wouldn't complain if you went to a gym once a month and you didn't have a 6-pack ab. But we go to church once a month or once every 2 months and wonder why we don't see any results in our life. Now you're starting to see why I feel like sometimes a gym can kind of look like church. Because church doesn't really seem that important, but I'm telling you it's more important than what we think it is. So important that an author wrote years back that we shouldn't neglect doing what we're doing today. Why? Because God doesn't want us to swerve or waver from the hope we affirm. Christian endurance is a community endeavor. So my goal today, if you could hear my heart as a pastor, is to encourage you on why people might neglect meeting together. I got 3 points on why people might neglect meeting together. The first point, it's going to come off boom, right, boom. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be hard, but then I promise you, I'm going to hug you and coddle you the rest of the time, all right? So the first one is this, why people neglect maybe the gym or the church. Number one are excuses. I told you, I was like, ouch, excuses. The word excuses means to attempt to lessen the blame by attaching a fault or offense. It means to seek to defend or justify. Here we go. Excuses are the biggest enemy to change. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are in here like, oh, here we go, right? I didn't come to church to hear about me making excuses. I came to church because I got to get my good points in. Listen, I see more in you maybe than what you see. God's got some things for you in 2017 that maybe you don't see. And he says, when you get around these people, when you get around gathering these people, I want to let you know that you wouldn't neglect this. Why? Because when you do, you'll see these purposes come to pass and you won't swerve when you want to swerve. But the reason we neglect it is because if we're honest, we've heard all the excuses. Like when you go to the gym, we can make excuses, but excuses are the biggest enemy to change. Your grade will never change, student, if you keep making the excuse that your dog ate your homework for the 15th time, right? Your marriage isn't going to change, husband, until you actually stop making the excuse on why you show up 4 hours late from home when your wife is desperately asking you to give attention to your kids. There's always going to be excuses to change. Well, I just don't have time to get in God's word. You'll never spiritually change until you drop the excuses. Why? Because excuses are the biggest enemy to change. The gym brings change, but if we make excuses, we excuse the change in our life. And a lot of times we excuse blessings because of our excuses. So here's a couple of excuses that I've heard as a pastor from doing this, and I've probably even said once in my life as well. The first thing is this. There's just hypocrites in the church, right? I don't go to church because there's hypocrites in the church. They're fake. They're fake people. Can I be honest? We've all kind of been fake. I had one person say that to me, like, I'm like, you should come to church. Like, I don't do church. Like, they're like, you know what? I don't need to go to church to go to heaven. I was like, you don't need a parachute to jump off an airplane, but it certainly does help, right? Like, but I was like, I don't need to go to church. Like, do not neglect. So if your excuse is I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, do not neglect gathering together. Do you believe the Bible? Because that's what the Bible says. And so someone said, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. And which I respond every time someone says this, you can say this, you can steal this from me. That's fine. I stole it from someone else. If someone says, yeah, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites, just say, that's awesome because we have room for one more. Come on in. Some of you don't like that because you're like, I'm not a hypocrite. Yes, you are. We've all been hypocrites. We've all have flaws. We've all don't have it all together. That's why we need this place in the first place. Not going to church, right, because it's full of hypocrites is like not going to the gym because it's full of out-of-shape people. When you go to a gym, you wouldn't go and be like, oh, my gosh, there's so many out-of-shape people in here. No, that's what the gym's for. So when you say, I don't go there because it's full of out-of-shape Christians, that's what the church is for. They're learning to get stronger. They're learning to grow. They're trying to shed some fat. They're just trying to learn to live like Jesus in their everyday life. And last time I checked, you're a hypocrite too. Someone who leaves the church because someone's a hypocrite forgets who they are, right? Like, I'm sorry, perfectionist left the building, right? I heard Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, you will never find a perfect church. People who are always looking for a perfect church will soon resolve. Even if they found the perfect church, as soon as they walk in, it would be imperfect. Spurgeon, my bro from the 1800s, right? Excuses. Maybe another one might be the church just wants my money. The church just wants my money. You see, I wonder if they thought about that with Jesus every time he talked about finances. Because Jesus talks about hell and finances. Those are the biggest subjects he talks about while he's on earth. Every time he brings up the money, they're probably like, Jesus just wants my money, right? And he's like, no, I want your heart. But the thing is money's really correlated to your heart. A lot of people think money is their heart, but it's not. But if you can give your money, then you can give me your heart. And here's the biggest thing I know. Because of people serving and giving in our church, we wouldn't see what we've been seeing. But we do, if I could be honest with you, we do want your money. But here's why. Because we want to see you blessed, and we want to see other people blessed. That's why we put the financial stuff on the screen. Every year you'll be seeing it. This is where our money is going. This is where it's coming from. This is how much you guys gave. This is what we used it for. Because we want to be transparent with it, but we also want to say it does take money to reach people for Jesus. And the last time I checked, on the next side of eternity, I will not regret every dollar I gave to see more people come into the kingdom of God. Not ever, not once. To see 37 people come to Christ over Christmas, I'll give anytime, because it's changed my life. The church just wants my money, so I don't want to go there. I want to keep my money. I was hurt by the church I was hurt by that church. This is a big one. A lot of people don't come to church because they were hurt. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying you weren't hurt by the church. I've been hurt by the church. I'm not saying that you haven't been hurt by the church. I'm not saying that you haven't gone through some real stuff and they actually did something that was wrong. I'm not saying that. But today, can we say this? In 2017, we are not going to allow other people to stop our growth in 2017. We're going to forgive. We're going to forget. We're going to stop letting other people who don't even care about us anymore prevent us from experiencing God's blessing. Well, they did this. They did that. You're allowing them to miss out on what God has for you. And maybe you've been hurt by the church. Can I tell you something? If you come here long enough, you'll be hurt again, because we're full of imperfect people. See, what happens in marriages and in churches is we put so much burden on the pastors and the leaders and the group leaders and all these people in the church that they need to meet my expectation, when the only person who could only satisfy you is Jesus. And so what happens when we can't own up to it, people get hurt by the church, because here's the thing, I've heard it. You didn't respond when you could respond to my message. Sean, I needed you to pray for me. I needed you to pray for this, and you didn't respond, so I'm leaving that place because, you know what, Sean doesn't have time for me. But what happened that people don't know is both of my girls had 101 temperatures in the last couple days. My nephew is in the ICU in Peoria, and there's some things that could be praying for me too. So don't get hurt by the church just because someone didn't respond when you want it. I'm flawed too. I'm a human too. I'm not Jesus. And just because someone doesn't respond to you doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means they have a life too, just like you. But we get hurt by the church. Why? Because we're always looking to be hurt. We're always looking to be hurt, but you come, you stay here long enough, someone's going to hurt you. That's why in Scripture it says, let's make every effort to fill the gaps and give allowance to each other's faults. Guys, I can honestly say that it's not intentional when people try to hurt you. Some people are, but I believe that we are not going to allow other people to prevent us from growing in 2017. You may have been hurt by the church, and I apologize for that, but I'm not going to sit and say, come here, you won't be hurt here. That would be a lie, because we're human, and we got flaws. And we may hurt you, but our job is to forgive, to talk to that person, and to grow together, right? It's like when you finally move in with those people you love, they're your best friends, you get 4 roommates, and within 3 months, you hate them. Well, guess what? You got 350 roommates, all right? They're gonna leave the toilet seat up. They're gonna forget to do the dishes. They're gonna leave the TV on all night, and you're paying the electric bill. Am I, come on, somebody. We're gonna find out some flaws in this place, but we're growing together. People who don't share grace forgot about their starting place. So we'll be a church that when we're hurt, that you say, you know what, let's look the best in people. Maybe call them up and say, hey, you hurt me in this area. But the thing that breaks my heart the most is I find that I hurt tons of people, never from the person, from someone else. And I would just have to say, that's the first time I've ever heard it. If you are hurt with someone, go find that person, not 1,400 people to gossip about, because then you're in the wrong, not them. So the church hurt me. The church didn't meet my preferences. The church didn't meet my preferences. These are some excuses that prevent us from change. It's going to get better. I'm just trying to talk about things I've heard and I've used. The church just didn't meet my needs. This can be hard. And when I talk about preferences, I'm not talking about principles. I'm not talking that Sean doesn't preach the Bible. He doesn't do it. If the pastor's not preaching the Bible, leave. If it's not sound doctrine, leave. If it's heretical, leave, right? I mean, talk to the pastor about it, to make sure that you're not the one that got Scripture screwed up. But just, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm talking about in this aspect is maybe preferences. I heard someone say, it's not about the lights. It's not about the music. It's not about these things. And I would completely agree. It's about God. But the same people who criticize the lights and the sound leave because the lights and the sound. If it wasn't about the lights and it wasn't about the sound and it was about God, then why'd you leave? Because the lights and the sound were evident. Because it wasn't about those things, right? You said that. I've heard someone say that to me before. Sean, it's not about these things. It's about God. I'm like, yeah, but we're going to use them, right? And it's going to be awesome. And we like them. But I believe we like them, but we know that they're not going to save our soul. That's a stupid light that would burn out in no time. And I believe that sometimes we go to a church and they don't meet our preferences. What if God brought you to a church not just to get your need met, but to meet other people's needs? Isn't that what let's go over to Hebrews. I think that's what he said. He said, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. He goes on to say, let us think of ways to motivate. He's encouraging people to do the encouraging, to do the motivating. He's saying, listen, you sat so long complaining that no one encouraged you and no one motivated you. Let me ask you something, young buck. When was the last time you motivated someone? When's the last time you encouraged? No one encourages me. When's the last time you called someone and prayed for them? Right? Because we can go to a place for our preferences, but when we go to a place to lift up God and give him glory, we can get together and begin to encourage. Maybe you haven't gotten encouragement this week, but who have you encouraged this week? Who have we motivated this week? And the last thing when it comes to these points is, I don't have enough time, which I'll leave that with you because that's pretty self-explanatory. Luke 14, 15 through 24 says this, "Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, 'What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God.' Jesus replied with this story, 'A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." That's a terrible excuse, right? Come on. That was a joke. Right? That was a joke. Like, oh, some of you are like, yeah, it is. And your wife is now putting you in the doghouse. Verse 21, "The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, 'Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' After the servant had done this, he reported, 'There is still room for me.' So his master said, 'Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet.'" What he's saying in here was an example of the Jewish people who were neglecting the promise of Jesus. They said Jesus wasn't the Messiah. So he says, listen, those people I invited first, they're not coming. Go find the outcast. Go find the misfits. That's our church. We're going to find the outcast. We're going to find the misfits. He said, bring them in. There's more room for them. The people who have hangups, the people who are broken, the people who have addictions. He says, go get them and bring them in. Why? Because the first people missed their blessing because of excuses. How many blessings does God want to bring to you in 2017? But excuses will excuse those blessings in your life. Today is a time we say no more excuses, not just when it comes to meeting together, but when God asks me to do something in his word. No more excuses. No matter how hard it is, no matter how tough it is, no matter how much time it's going to take, I believe that God has a blessing for me, and I'm not going to excuse that blessing because of my excuses. I'm working on myself, guys. I'm working on myself. The second reason why people might neglect coming to church, which is very true, is accountability. Accountability. See, when people go to the gym, a lot of people want to go and find a trainer because a trainer helps with accountability. Some people said, if I go to the gym by myself, I need someone to go with me so that we go at the same time, we keep each other driven, we keep each other pushing, we keep each other on track. And some people actually hire a physical trainer to do this. And it's funny because I sometimes listen to people who hire the physical trainers, and it's so funny sometimes when they like talk bad about their physical trainer because their physical trainer is actually making them do stuff that actually is going to help them, right? I can't believe this. I'm just so tired. They overworked me. It's because you haven't done any work last year, right? Anything would be overworking. Walking up those flight of stairs is overworking you, right? Like everything is that. But what I'm trying to say is we begin to get upset because someone holds us accountable. The physical trainer's heart is to get that person healthy, to get that person in shape, to say, don't eat that, eat this. We want to see you healthy. We want to see your heart working good. We want to see some of these levels come down and some of these levels come up. And so the physical trainer's job is to think about your future self. And what happens is when it gets tough, when we want to endure and we don't want to swerve, what happens is we begin to get upset with people who hold us accountable in our walk with Christ. Look at what it says in Hebrews 12:11. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. Can I get an amen? Discipline is painful, right? It's painful. Hebrews 12:11. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. That's Proverbs. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Let's leave it up there. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. I love that the scripture says this about discipline. Because next time you go through discipline and it hurts, that doesn't mean something bad is happening. That doesn't mean something bad is happening. Actually, what that means is something good is probably happening. Something good is probably happening. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening, but it's painful. You see, I think here what happens is, if you're first time, we're glad you came, but when we are followers of Christ, when we say, I'm not a fan anymore, I heard someone tell me in the last experience, he goes, I used to be a believer of Jesus, but now I'm a follower of Jesus. Let that sink in. I used to know about him and talk about him and stuff, but now I'm a follower. Because what that means is I've allowed him to lead. I follow him. He gives me the shots. He calls the shots, and I listen. But here's the thing about Jesus. If you look through Scripture, sometimes he disciplined his disciples, and it looked painful. But the reason why Jesus disciplined, because he saw more in him. I think the hardest thing sometimes about being a pastor and a leader is knowing I see more in other people, but when I come to discipline them, they think I'm here to punish them, when really I want to see them grow. And so instead of actually coming back and working on it, they just leave. And this happens so much in the church. People left one church and they go to another because the church just judged me. What really happened is you went and talked to someone about something you were struggling with, and they gave you the answer you didn't want to hear, and they didn't affirm your sin. And because they didn't affirm your sin, you left and told everyone the church judged you when they want to see you grow. When we're believers, what happens is people are here to hold us accountable, including me. I got people in my life who call me out. This week, working on the budget, I sent it to one of our pastors and said, what do you think about this? He goes, this looks good, man. He's like, but I would encourage you on this, this, and I don't know why you don't have this. And he called me out on one of these areas, and it hurt. Because I was like, I can't believe I didn't think about that. But when it hurts, you like trying to make an excuse, right? It's like, I can't believe I didn't think about that. And it hurt at that time. But I realized he was for me, and he wanted me to be the best pastor I could be. And I had to realize that just like a physical trainer wants to see me in shape, I got to realize that people in our church who you've called to be an accountability partner or are walking alongside of you, they don't come and correct you because they hate you or they want to put you in shame. They come and correct you because they want to see you come to be everything you can be in God. And that's the best place we can be. It says in Proverbs 12:1, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. I didn't write that. That's in Scripture. Look it up in New Living Translation. To learn, you must love discipline. He's saying today, church, let us be a church who learns to love discipline. I love God. I love Jesus. I love his grace. I love his mercy. I love these things. He's saying, you know what else you should love? Discipline. Why? Because it's discipline that takes a child from throwing tantrums to being a respectable child who sits at the table and loves people and people can actually tolerate. Right? My daughter's throwing tantrums, and I realized that I want to discipline her. Why? Not because I want to tell her what to do, but because when she's 15, I don't want her throwing fits at a table and people can't stand her, and so she actually is burning bridges in her walk with Christ. But because she's polite, because she's considerate, and because she thinks of other people, it opens up avenues for her to talk to other people about Christ. That's why I'm teaching her. He says, when you go through discipline, God's trying to get you something. But sometimes we have to drop the donuts and pick up the broccoli. But I like the donuts, but there's also broccoli. And sometimes in order for us to grab onto what God wants to bless us with, we have to let go of the things that God says we have to let go of because they're hurting us. But we have to learn to love discipline. And as we're on this subject, when we talk about a physical trainer, I would not go in, right? When you go into a gym and you're looking to find a physical trainer or you want some tips and some pointers, this is not to be rude. I don't go to the person who doesn't look like they work out, right? Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to pick you. If there was a choice for my physical trainer between, like, The Rock, right? Like, The Rock Johnson, like, you know, like, whatever, the sexiest man alive for some reason, but he's The Rock Johnson, and choosing between, like, him and if Chris Farley was still here, like, Chris Farley, right? I would choose The Rock Johnson, right? I'm not going to choose Chris Farley because the thing is he's going to get me to, I want to be like that. For Chris Farley, I'm going to have to go the other way, right? And so what I wanted to say to some people is in church is we do this a lot. We don't come actually and find accountability people who want to grow us. We see marriages are doing good, and we see these things, but we want to find people who affirm our sickness. We want to find people who, like, you know, that aren't going to challenge us. And so what we do is instead of looking for people like The Rock, because we know to get like him, it's going to bring some long days in the gym. It's going to hurt. There's going to be some sacrifice. It's going to be painful. So instead, we go find someone who's already doing what we're doing, and we just hang out with them, and we wonder why we never grow. He's saying, in church, we should find people who are where we want to be, And when they say, hey, if you want to be where this is, you're going to have to, right? You're going to have to drop the donuts. And it's going to be hard. You're going to have to do an extra set of setups. You're going to have to do an extra set of whatever. And he's saying, you know what? We need people who can come in and say, you listen, I know that you keep struggling with this. I know you're wondering why you keep losing your job. You're like, I don't get it. I lose my job every other time. I'm going to say this out of love. It's because you have a terrible work ethic. And then I'm leaving the church because he judged me. No, you have a terrible work ethic. And I know that hurts, but I want you to have a job, keep a job, provide for a family, be a family man. But in order for that to happen, I got to tell you this. You got a terrible work ethic. You can't go into work 15 minutes late and wonder why you're losing your job. You can't spit in the tacos and play jokes with all your employees and wonder why you got fired from the job. You got a terrible work ethic. I know that hurts. I know it's painful. We got to own up to that and realize there's some things as a pastor, there's some areas I'm not good at. And when my friends tell me, or I ask my employees, 360 evals, you're a nitpicker. Fired, right? Like, here's 360 eval, tell me about myself. You're a nitpicker. You're gone. See ya. Pack your bags, right? No, what I do is, hey, I want to be the best boss I can be. And I'm going to give you these things. Tell me what I need to work on. Did it hurt when I got called a nitpicker? To the core. Because I don't want any flaw in me. I don't want to be a boss who's got insecurities. But when I realize that three of the four, well, all of them, call me a nitpicker. They didn't call me a nitpicker. They said I was nitpicking. But they would call me a nitpicker behind my back. Anyways, when I realized what they were calling me, I could have made excuse and said, whatever, what do they know? Or learn to love discipline and realize that if I want to be a better boss, I need to own up to that and say, what can I do better to be a better boss? Some of you people are saying, listen, I see what God wants to do in your life, and you've been corrected, and you've left church from church from church because someone called you out and you don't like it. And so you left saying, they judged me. And they're saying, no, we're for you. We're encouraging you. But in order for you to get to where you want to be, you got to drop that thing. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4:8, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life, listen, and the life to come. You know what the physical trainer knows sometimes that we don't know when we want to give up? If they would just stick to it. If they would not give up. Man, that physical trainer is like, that physical trainer is been where that person is. And they said, if they don't give up, if they don't give up, they see something that we don't. In the middle of our struggle, he's saying, don't give up, because if you don't give up, you're going to see the results you want. Paul says, Timothy, train people for godliness, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. When it gets hard, when it gets difficult, when they want to quit, when everyone's making fun of them, remind them this. Quit looking at your current situation, your current struggle, because the benefits far outweigh what you're going through right now. Don't give up. Drop the donuts. Take the correction. Love the discipline. Grow on. Move on. Drop the people behind you who are hurting you and broken, and let's keep moving. Let's stop making excuses. And stop blaming everybody else for our growth. It's time to say, I'm not swerving because I got people, I got physical trainers who are encouraging me. And on the other hand, if you're hearing, be like, I'm just being their physical trainer, but they didn't ask you, butt out, all right? And I mean that honestly, like, butt out. If you don't have a relationship with someone and you're trying to train them, they never ask you to be their trainer. Just butt out for a while, all right? We need relationship with people if we want to encourage them with something. And every time I've encouraged someone with something to correct them and I'm not in a relationship, they're gone. But I realize that when you show love in relationship, you can encourage them better. The last point is this, insecurities. Insecurities. I'm going to have the worship team come up right now. Insecurities. I got about 4 or 5 minutes to finish this. And I hope you know my heart with this message is you're here. So you can breathe easy. Like, I'm glad he's talking about a message where he says, don't neglect me together. And guess what? I'm here. So you can actually relax because you made it, right? And you're like, oh, I need to tag people who need to listen to this before we're there, right? Like, and I look here and I was thinking about my journey when I was losing weight. And this is why I'm calling it Church Rec, because this is something real to me and I hope it can encourage you. When we started the church, I gained like 30 pounds fast. I was pregnant at one time, you know, but my wife was. It's called sympathy weight. I felt for her. So, but I grew, and I was getting unhealthy, and I was making bad decisions, eating junk food, and just always just felt so droggy, and just I was not happy because here I am as a pastor and a preacher asking people to give up their hangups and their addictions, and here I am that I can't put a cheeseburger down, right? I think the biggest preacher is someone who lives what he preaches. So God said, time to get in shape. So beginning of 2015, I was like, here we go. And I was heavier. I didn't know anything really about lifting. I did it when I was younger, but I just knew it was gonna be a long road. And when you go into a gym, or at the time I went to the gym, I feel like everybody that was on the World's Strongest Man competition goes to the gym when I went to the gym. Because I walked in there and felt so small, right? Not because I'm 5'6", I just felt so small. Because as soon as I got around people who were secure with their weight and their bench press and their lifting, it made me feel little, because my insecurities became to come out. I think the church is a lot like that. I think we got people who come to a church for the first time and they see these like super spiritual like bodybuilders who are like, oh, I just memorized 14 more scriptures last week, right? Oh, did you see my squat? Like, I prayed without ceasing for 24 hours. And they're like, gosh, I'll never look like that. So what's even the point of coming? Jake, can you help me out? Can you come up here real fast? Give it up for Jake. I'm gonna scare him away. Come up here real fast. This is this one dude that made me feel insecure about my life, all right? So you're gonna help me with this, because it's good. Can you guys throw 1 Corinthians 11:1 up for a second? Paul says, when you go into the gym, or you go into the church, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. You see, I realized when I went into the gym, like people like this, gosh, you're so big. People like it. I'm feeling really insecure right now. When I first went in, you saw people like Jake and just other people in there are lifting. You just feel so small and insecure. I realized that I was intimidated by it. And in church, I feel like a lot of people feel intimidated by people who know scripture or who was raised in church. And I don't want you to feel like that. And when I was realizing this, Jake started coming a while back, and I caught him at the gym. And any other time, it would intimidate me. But I realized one thing, that instead of letting him intimidate me, I should maybe try imitating him. Instead of letting him intimidate me, I should be like, well, man, he obviously knows how to build muscle. Obviously. Instead of letting him intimidate me, maybe I should open up my mouth and say, hey, how do you work this muscle out? I want to imitate. Paul says, don't come to church intimidated. If you have insecurities, that's okay. We all have them. He says, you might see someone who's good at Bible memorization. You might see some marriages that are thriving. You might see some young people who are not surrendering to peer pressure, and you wonder how they do it. Paul says, imitate them. Don't let the church intimidate you. Learn how you can imitate those who are imitating Christ. I remember sitting down with him. He says, you know what? I was working on my chest exercise. I was like, I just want to see more growth. I just want to see more growth in this area. I feel like I plateaued. I'm not trying to be weird with you guys. And he said this. He goes, do you exhaust your arms before you do your bench? And I'm like, no, because I don't want to drop the bench on my face, right? He says, work out your triceps first. Remember this conversation? He said, work out this triceps first, then go do the bench. I'm like, why? He's like, because when you bench, you're actually using a lot of your tricep. I'm like, ooh. Like, right? And sure enough, when you work out all your triceps, when you're pushing up on the bench, your arms are tired, so you're not using that muscle. Now you're using your whole chest, which it almost killed me, by the way. Thank you. The point is this. I could have been so insecure and think Jake doesn't care about me. He's probably like, who's this fat kid in here? He probably had some donuts on the way in here. He's saying, and I could have let the enemy lie to me and let this spiritual bodybuilder look down on me. Or instead of letting him intimidate me, I said, hey man, I kind of want to look like this in your area. And instead of him making fun of me, he said, oh, let me give you some tips. There are people in this place who you think don't want to help you, and you're intimidated by them. Can I tell you something? Those people who have it look like they have it all together, they don't, but they have some areas that they do. Don't let them intimidate you. Instead, imitate them. Give them your insecurities, because when you do that, they'll give you tips so you can grow and be just like them. You see, when you imitate someone, you want to be like them. So if you see a marriage, or you see a person or a man, maybe you don't know how to be a spiritual leader, and you see a male who's good at it, don't let him intimidate you. Begin to imitate him and watch God bless your life. Thanks, Jake. Can you give it up for Jake? Appreciate it, man. So don't neglect the meeting together. If you came today and you felt like your insecurities came to the surface because you don't worship like that or you don't pray like that, can I tell you something? You're in a safe place. We're all on our journey together. Some people are sprawled out. Woo! Some people are like, I don't know what that means. And from there, to hear, we're all on our own journey. Don't let someone else's spiritual bigness intimidate you. Instead, find someone you can imitate who's imitating Christ and watch God grow your life in 2017. Lord, we thank you so much for this moment. Thank you, Father God, for everyone who came in today. I pray that they would hear my heart, that today is not about beating people up for leaving the church, but encouraging people to stay in the church when it's tough, because it's here where we're encouraged. No more excuses, because excuse change. Thank you for our church. Thank you for what we're doing here. Thank you for the people who made it. Bless us in 2017. And when we want to swerve, I pray the Holy Spirit would encourage us. Let us find people to imitate as they imitate you, Lord. And we're grateful for that. Thank you for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.